If global is a phenomenon that women live with every day of their lives, any woman listening to you today knows the challenge that women face in taking up and in fact staying in leadership positions in our world because of the way it's structured. It sort of alienates many women. But in terms of what happened in Paris, it was horrible. 34 subgroups, only four of which were chaired by women. Two big rooms in which critical rooms in which activities were taking place. One was full of women, and that's where all the stuff was being organised effectively. And then the next room in which all the critical decisions were being taken, and it was 92% men. So the issue of absence of women in this discussion is, for all of us, a massive issue. All the research shows us that women predisposed to a legacy mindset are more likely to have the ability, will and courage to set aside the economic argument short-term for the long-term stability of, and I'll put it in inverted commas, our home. They're more inclusive, they're more likely to influence laterally rather than hierarchically, and they're more about what we need rather than what I need. Now, I don't know about you, but it strikes me as a leadership expert that is exactly the talent I would want negotiating on behalf of the global community for climate change. We have to be at the table, but we have to be at the table collectively, because women don't operate so well on their own. It's, you know, a very few can do it. But the majority of women talk in we language.
Can I just pursue that particular point? Because I was going to mention Julie Bishop as Australia's foreign minister at the Paris Climate Summit, who was very prominent throughout the negotiations, which would seem therefore to be a good thing in terms of female representation. But she did seem to be very much on her own. She wasn't part of a collective. And you're arguing perhaps that that's the better way to go.
She's very much not part of a collective. First of all, Julie Bishop is both very clever, a high achiever, and very much able to steer her own ship. I think she's. I have a great deal of respect for her. I'm not quite in the same party politics, but I have a great deal of respect for her tenacity and her perseverance as a leader. But, and it's a big but, that is not indicative of the majority of women any more than Tony Abbott was indicative of the majority of men. So the issue for many of us is we have to stop picking out isolated success stories and saying, well, we've all got to be like that, because this just doesn't work. What works is how do most of us work most effectively towards the greater good? And there's lots of really interesting exercises that I take leaders through, and Homeward Bound is the epitome of it, which show that together we have a much higher probability of successful outcomes in terms of survival strategies than the majority of us have on our own.
Does that mean, therefore, that the Homeward Bound initiative and this voyage into the Antarctic, as it were, is a slightly off-the-wall way of trying to deal with that imbalance, to put things right, to give more women more leadership skills to press ahead with, in this case, obviously, the scientific knowledge that they already have?
Correct. You're 100% right. But let me tell you what's happened, because in a way it was an experiment for me, a dream and an experiment. And what has happened is everything I've intuitively believed would happen when women, intelligent, resourced women with common cause, could come together to resolve an issue. And that is that every remote suggestion of hierarchy has evaporated. And we're talking a third of the group. We're taking 79 women. A third of them are very senior leaders. A third would be in the middle area, and a third are just starting the journey. You cannot tell where the hierarchy is. It doesn't exist. But what has happened is everyone wants to collaborate now. So we're pulling a lot of the program into 2016 on the ground, and we have 10 major projects that the women have volunteered to partner around the planet to get the ball rolling now, from targeting 10 of the world's largest corporations with low female representation and a big footprint on our world. And then this, we're looking at why is it that in interdisciplinary studies in academia, when a woman leads, they'll do better. So you begin to see why women are needed at a climate summit, because in actual fact, women listen more effectively, include more effectively, a bit more passionate, communicate more effectively, plan more effectively.